Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. You can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. It's time for Worldview Watch with Historically Speaking, Pastor Dan, Dr. Dan Harmelink, Concordia Historical Institute, here to talk about our past and let it inform our future. Today, looking a little bit at eternity and the death of the Christian and how to prepare for that, particularly by thinking about the coming up anniversary of the death of Dr. Martin Luther.
Great. So it's great to be here. And at CHI, we're getting ready for the public opening day of the exhibit that we've been working on for months and months. The title is Pressed into Service by the Word of God, and it talks how the gospel gets a hold of people in a gospel way, in a good way, changes their whole life. This is Luther's confession at the Diet of Worms when he says, I'm compelled by the Word of God to stand for the truth. So Luther's saint day, his death day, is February 18th. And when people in Europe talk about Luther Day, they usually think of his birthday, which is in November 10th. But February 18th has been recognized as kind of an anniversary of the Reformation from way back. So I'll read this. In 1846, in Perry County in Altenburg, at Trinity Lutheran Church, they draped the whole church with yards and yards of black cloth. A special preparatory service was conducted the week before, and on the day of the anniversary of Luther's death, there was a morning service at 10 o'clock and an afternoon service at 2. A pastor labor preached, calling Luther our father who rests in God, who has fallen asleep in the Lord. So this is a big deal in the life of the church to remember with thanksgiving, right? Those who have confessed the faith, who have been faithful even unto death. And today it's like, you know, how many people on Saturday are going to say, you know, happy Martin Luther
Day? It's almost as if Luther is derided. You know, and I hear this kind of amongst Lutherans. There is the straw man issue of his very commonplace but wrongheaded disdain for the Jewish community. Mm-hmm. But it's almost a, for that alone. But it's not even that. It's like, you know, you Lutherans, you who would follow this man, and that's never been what it's about. But in that, it's like we forget. Like this guy was a giant. He was a giant, not of intellect first. Not of will first, but of the faith. Mm-hmm. He believed in times when, golly, I'm not sure I could have stood.
Right. There's a book that was published soon after Luther's death. It's been translated into English. It was written by Justice Jonas, who was one of Luther's closest friends, who was with him at the marriage to Katie and also in Luther's last hours. He was at the deathbed and asked, you know, Martin, Luther, are you willing to die confessing the faith that you've professed? And Luther said a hearty amen to that. But he talks about Luther. Even Luther admitted that he got upset about the smallest thing. So he's a fallen, sinful human mm-hmm. being, like us all. But God still redeemed his miserable, sinful life, and that's what we celebrate. So I think people outside the Lutheran Church maybe think that you go into a Lutheran church and there's a big icon of Martin Luther and we burn candles to that. And it's like, no. And I heard recently, you know, these little Lego little Martin Luthers.
Yeah, sure, right.
That people are claiming that this is anti-Semitic.
Oh, geez.
So it's really going kooky.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it's thanking God for his good gifts. And so with the eyes of faith, we see past the shell, the sinful person of Martin Luther, to what God accomplished despite all of these foibles and sins and weaknesses that he had.
Now, one of my favorite stories about his death, and maybe you can correct me on this or add to it, is that, I mean, he gives the confession. I remember his last words are beautiful, but then after he's dead, I don't know what they're doing, preparing him for burial. They ruffle through his coat pocket or his pants pocket, mm-hmm. and they find a little scrap of paper with Verser und Bettler? We are all beggars.
We are all beggars, and this is true. And so some people have said that you can summarize all of Martin Luther's theology, his journey back to the scriptures and the gospel by his first of the 95 theses,
yep.
and then this little scrap of paper that they found in his pocket after his death. And We Are Beggars, this is true. I'm actually, CHI is working on a new hymn with Henry Gehrke and Fred Bowie, Dr. Fred Bowie. And the refrain is, "We are beggars, this is true." So I think this is a window into Luther's theology. And again,
you mentioned the first of the 95 theses. Let's just throw that out there too. I'm going to paraphrase it here, but it's when our Lord Jesus Christ said repent, he meant that the entire life
of a Christian is one of repentance.
Yes. Yeah.
Not of the you know, going to confession with a priest, but just the approach of being repentant.
Right. That my life is one of being turned around again and again by the word of God, and I'm but at his mercy.
Right.
Yeah.
So being in the parish, I mean, I always kind of got a kick out of people that they would be first-time visitors, and then I'd ask after the service, you know, do you have any questions about the service? And some people who had never been in a Lutheran church before, it's like, do you do that confession thing every Sunday?
Yep.
It's like, no, we have a Confess Your Sin Sunday once a year, and then we do other fun stuff. You know, it's like, no, the daily life of a Christian is one of repentance.
It reminds me of a story told by Pastor George Borgard, who's a former Roman Catholic. He's now a leader at Higher Things, and he talked about how his mom, who's still a Catholic, had gone to church, and they'd had Jubilee Sunday, and she was on the phone talking to me. He said, well, what's that? She says, we got forgiveness today. He said, oh, you had Lutheran Sunday. That's great. You know, we get that every week.
Just don't get used to it.
Yeah, right.
So also today, February 16th, is the feast day or the saint day of Philip Melanchthon.
Yeah.
So February 16th, 1497, Philip Melanchthon is born near Karlsruhe in the kind of southwestern part of Germany, and becomes, again, captured by the word of God and is kind of Luther's right-hand man for much of the Reformation.
Good long while. There was a reading
Although he kind of fell off the rails at the end there.
Yeah, there was a reading from him this morning that was absolutely beautiful. And as the author to the Apology to the Augsburg Confession and the Augsburg Confession, we owe a great deal to him, even though, you know, in his desire for unity in the church, he didn't always stand as firm as he could have when he didn't have Luther kind of standing behind him.
So one of the display cases that we have at CHI, and again, we're on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We'll be open from 10 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. It's going to be fantastic weather and even a better exhibit. So in one of these cases, each case talks about, okay, what does it mean to be pressed into service by the Word of God? So one of the cases talks about the Scriptures give us the not only the ability but the desire to point to Christ and his redemption even through in our suffering, even in our last hours. And again, I think Luther is a great example of this, that by God's grace, right, by God's gift, he was faithful even unto death.
Right.
And so we sing a doxology on the 18th, not to Martin Luther, but to the God of all grace and mercy.
There's a great hymn, For All Your Saints in Warfare. It's got, 30-odd verses or so. You never really sing all of them, but the idea is you sing verse 1 and 3, and then verse 2 is always about a saint. And you could think, well, you know, isn't that a Catholic thing to worship the saints? Yeah, it's definitely a Catholic thing if you're going to pray to them. It is not a Roman thing, however, to remember them. And one of the great pieces of that hymn is that all of these different individuals, it connects to their struggle. Right, their tribulation that they faced, and then their desire to cling to Christ for the same reason that you do, that we do, that we have this need.
Even though we don't worship the saints that have gone before us, we do take seriously their example.
Yeah,
and again, that is a gift for us in our struggles. So again, you know, the older we get, the more people we look forward to seeing again in heaven.
Mm.
And it especially makes, for me and I think many Christians, the Lord's table more and more special as we hear with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven.
Right.
And a kind of a foretaste of that eternal grand reunion that we will have in eternity.
Right, right.
So the whole exhibit at CHI, this Pressed into Service by the Word of God, we end the whole exhibit with a display case that talks about our the gift of joy in confessing Christ until he returns and takes us home. So there's a beautiful hymn by Martin Franzmann.
There's a couple.
And yeah, take your pick. And this is from a hymn called, O God, O Lord of Heaven and Earth. And so I'd like to read these words as kind of a frame of what the Reformation and the Christian life under the gospel is all about. O Spirit, who didst once restore thy church, that it might be again the bringer of good news to men, breathe on thy cloven church once more, that in these gray and latter days there may be those whose life is praise, each life a high doxology to Father, Son, and unto thee.
So good. So good. It makes me think of the Church of One Foundation as well, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping. Their cry goes up, how long? And soon the night of weeping will be the morn of song. The division that we see in the culture is only one half of the story. There's the division in the church. There are believers set against believers. There's false teaching run amok. And what do we have? We have Lord have mercy. That's what we got. That's our prayer. And his response, I have and I will again.
And Christ's promise, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And that Christ's promise is enough.
Yeah. So you got this coin here with like a 2 minutes left here. Beautiful, huge piece of metal.
Since we're talking about the last days of Luther and how God was faithful until Luther's last breath, one of the medals on display in this exhibit was designed by Scott Blazek in 1996, and it has Luther on his deathbed with Justice Jonas next to him, with Luther giving his faithful confession. And again, you know, it's not a morbid fascination with the death of the saints, but I think these are God-given examples that would encourage us that even in the face of difficulty and death, we would continue to confess Christ and the clear word of the gospel.
Yeah, someone once told me that the job of the pastor is to prepare you for death, and that his whole ministry is getting you ready to die. And there's a prayer in the general prayer from TLH that we would be saved from an evil death, which I interpret as a death without faith,
right?
And these deaths of the saints, they're deaths in faith, and that's why we rejoice in them.
Now, Justice Jonas in his book talks about how Luther, even though he was having pain, he died a peaceful, you know, in the faith death, that he didn't recant or say, what have I done? You know, what if I was wrong? But again, putting all things in Christ's gracious hands, he says, amen. And then he mirrors Christ's words from the cross, you know, Lord, I commend myself.
My guest, Pastor Dan Harmelick of Concordia Historical Institute. You got that exhibit opening up this Saturday on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. You might want to check that out, unless, universe, our Lord Jesus comes back. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. But in either case, I do look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.